All right, why don't we go ahead and start? We have a good attendance by investors, which is great. So thank you all for joining. It's Louis Delucia. Hopefully, you can hear me okay. We'll start out with a PowerPoint that'll help guide us through the conversation. Hopefully, I can share this well and correctly. So let's see. All right, can you tell me if you see the PowerPoint, presenters?
Yes, we can see him.
Terrific. All right. Well, thank you all for joining again. I'll walk through the agenda a little bit for tonight's conversation. We have introductions in terms of who's on the call for the liquidation trustee and the trust. We have myself, Louis Delucia of Ice Miller, Michael Ott of Ice Miller, and Allison Fiedler of Ice Miller. And then for Alvarez & Marsal Financial Advisors, we have Andrea Gonzalez. And for AIRN, we have the liquidation trustee representative, Matthew Ward, as well as Rick Budd and Tommy Fierro. And each will be covering different issues. For example, Rick Budd will be addressing some of the real estate updates. Tommy Fierro will be addressing some tax issues to the extent they are presented, and then we will provide a summary of litigation as well as claims reconciliation, distribution information, etc., hand in glove with Alvarez and Marsal. So a little bit of we're changing things a little bit today in terms of how we're going to address the presentation. In the past, we would have the presentation, then some questions, which would take more time, and oftentimes would go longer. We've had the questions presented through WebEx, through the registration process, we've reviewed them, we've had calls internally to make sure we answered your questions, and we've rolled the answers to those questions into this presentation. So we hope to address all of those questions in this presentation. So it'll make it hopefully more efficient and a little bit of a shorter meeting for everybody scheduled this evening. The good update is also we're going to be providing reports and updates every month that'll be posted on Omni now in a written format. So you'll be able to see those on Omni. More information will be coming down the path on that. And we're also joined tonight, you might see Oak and Hollander. That is a question that was presented as well. They are newly retained counsel to the advisory board for assisting them on governance and administration and performance of their duties as the advisory board. So that is a quick roll of introductions and where we're going. We're going to be having a real estate update provided, as I mentioned, by Rick Budd. It will be followed by a litigation update with a general overview of the pending litigation, the mediations that are outstanding, settlements, judgments, and investigations, as well as a quick bit of information on the DOJ restitution. What's important to know is that we can't give very substantial details on some of the litigation or settlement negotiations or judgments because this is a public forum. And as you know from those who participated in prior meetings, a lot of the information we provide relates to litigation that is pending, and adversaries may hear it and use it against us, which hurts you as investors on the recoveries. So we're not going to get into great detail over that, or with that, I should say. But also on the restitution piece, it's important to recognize that there is a substantial multi-million dollar restitution award by the federal government against Nick Salzano and soon possibly Mr. Scuturo. But those awards do not necessarily translate immediately into dollars. So I think it's important that you recognize that the restitution, although substantial, does hang over them like a judgment, but their assets are not as substantial as we'd like to be able to pay that. We will also get into the claims reconciliation and distributions process. We'll point you to where the updated investor schedules are on Omni and give you some insight on that. some discussion of the plan distribution, where again, many of your questions in the question portal are now addressed in this discussion. Distribution mechanics, how you're getting them, including tax related issues that Tommy will jump in on, help on. Again, answering questions that were posted in the portal. And then we'll discuss also some of the unsecured claims treatment, which was another one question that we had. We will also give you an update on when the next town halls are. And the trustee will, of course, give a closing statement, and then we will adjourn. So with that, I will turn the podium over to Rick Budd for the real estate update.
Okay. Thanks, Lewis. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you. And good evening, everybody. So, you know, we've talked in the past about the changing market, the environment, hopefully getting more favorable. And we are seeing that now, right? So we're all aware of rate cuts, which translates directly into reduced borrowing costs for us at the station and the Grand. But more so, it's going to translate into lower cap rates, more interest in properties, investing, etc. So I think the immediate road for us and for your assets, we're very optimistic about. We've had about $53 million in transaction sales over the past 14 months or so. And that's in an environment that, you know, what wasn't the best, but we've been selective, trying not to expedite any sales unless we really believe we're getting, you know, the best value possible. So we have a new contract for sale that we contracted a sale for 1300 Manhattan. That's been a particularly problematic asset going back some time. Anyway, we have that under contract now for $2.5 million, and that should close sometime probably at the end of the first quarter or early second quarter. We have completed projects now, right? So we have the station, which is 4910 Bergen Line, which we've talked about before. We've gone through, we started leasing units there, 97 units. We started leasing those last summer. Those leases came due now. We've been able to release it, which is a great sign. So we're back to being 98% leased in the building. So the market is strong, which is good news for us too, as we have other units in West New York. We'll talk about in just a second. Our retail grocer continues to try to navigate the West New York system to get their building permit. We believe they're very close. In the interim, they've continued to make their lease payments to us, most importantly, but we do believe that'll get resolved and they'll be able to start construction early in 2025. So the and also in West New York, we did get our certificate of occupancy. That building is open. It looks fantastic. For anybody interested, you can go to the Grand, thegrandwny.com, and you can see the building. We've started leasing now. Not the best time of year, right, for leasing, but if it's open, it's open. We're leasing, and everything counts. The seasonality is there, but we're now open and ready to go. And the building looks fantastic. We also have completed projects we've discussed before. We have two single family homes left in Delray Beach. We had the third one, which we sold in October, so that closed. So we have the last two that are finished, you know, certificate of occupancies issued. So they are on the market and also, you know, ready for sale. We've seen that market, that South Florida residential market, start to show more life. Like I say, when we had the other sale, I think our brokerage team, which we switched last fall, and we've seen encouraging signs and, you know, so we think it's just a matter of time there. As far as active construction, we have we have, you know, many projects have six different names, but let's go with the Water Club, 1499 Columbus Boulevard in Philadelphia. So we have building, we have approvals there, we have building permits. We are in active joint venture discussions there to build phase one, which would be 350. We believe, again, we're hitting it at the exact right time in the Philadelphia market, both from a lease rate standpoint, as well as what's going on in the surrounding area. We've talked in the past about Comcast coming in big. Now there's a significant approval process going on for Heinz, not the ketchup people, but H-I-N-E-S, that are also looking to do quite a massive development about a mile and a quarter from us with, again, retail, office, believe it or not, anybody's doing office, but they are. So it's very constructive. So we're pretty excited about that. So we will be in the market next year or early next year, looking for financing to help us get through there. Things still in pre-development. So we have our two parcels in Fort Lauderdale, the 200 parcel, which is approved and ready to go for 389 units. We're receiving two JV proposals on that site. So neither of those are actionable at the moment, but it's just indicative of what's going on now in the marketplace as people are coming out of hibernation because it's the end of the year and because of the rate cuts that have been taking place. The South Tower across the street, we are still engaged in getting that approval process for 429 units. We've not had any obstacles. We're just in the design review phase. We believe that that could happen by sometime in the first quarter. Legacy Harbor in Fort Myers, there's our approval process there has been moving along. This amendment to get up to, with bonus density, in excess of 500 units approved. So again, we believe that's a first quarter event. There's been a lot of interaction with the community. Generally, 99% has been supportive, but we hear mostly from the 1%. But we do believe that the city is certainly behind it and certainly supportive of the initiative. The marina, which we had, the former marina, I should say, right? So we've done extensive demo both on the land and in the harbor to remove all the pilings, everything that was there before. So we're permitted with our 131 slips and ready to build. So we are, you know, have budgeted for that. We are still looking at what the best pricing can be to rebuild the marina. We've had great support from some of your co-investors in here that have actively helped us in this and participated. So that's terrific. And we hope to be, I guess you don't say out of the ground in a marina, but I guess out of the water in a rebuild. We also have a restaurant there, which is a Landry's restaurant. They are temporarily closing the restaurant because without the marina, their business has suffered significantly. But they're continuing. Landry's is a substantial AAA credit, maybe not AAA, but a solid credit. So they're going to continue to pay the lease for the next 5 years. And then hopefully in that interim, they'll be in a position to reopen. Pre-development, we have the Metro site back in West New York, right, which is, again, 156 units next door to the Grand, a mirror image. It's the same building. We're working with West New York to have our permits blessed, for lack of a better term, for 2025. And we will look to, again, see about building. If you're going to build that, it would have to come out of the ground by the end of 2025. But we'll know a lot more about West New York, right? We've had favorable leasing with the station, the Grand. It's early and not the greatest season, but the market seems to indicate that the absorption is ready to take place there, and with the additional units at the Metro. that would give us potentially a really attractive asset. I mean, we may look to dispose of them one at a time, but there's also potentially a bulk opportunity that would attract larger scale people on or persons on a national scale, but we're not getting ahead of ourselves yet. We have one parcel left in Guttenberg, which is Adam Street. It was under contract. That party defaulted, and we're in the process of getting that put back on the market and reassessing what the next position would be with that. We have a number of smaller assets, insurance claims, et cetera, that we're continuing to pursue. But I do want to emphasize that there's activity in the marketplace, and it's positive activity. We've heard from a number of investors individually, and we're happy to talk to people about the assets in more detail. I mean, each of these assets, right? It's, you know, you can keep opening the door to the next discussion. So people don't hesitate to reach out, particularly on a specific asset, if you have any insights or any questions. So I think that's it.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now for the litigation update. The next agenda item on the list is the litigation update, and I'll take the lead on starting that conversation. So this is a quick summary of the litigation results so far to date. We've had judgments and settlements aggregating just to date of approximately $206.9 million, almost $207 million. That's comprised of judgments and settlements with institutions, individuals. For example, Media Effective resulted in a $5 million payment to us with interest. We have had other settlements that are incorporated there, as well as litigation results that have been, as you can tell, fairly positive. We've also been able, through the litigation that has been commenced in this case, for example, the S3 litigation against S3 Bergenline and S3 Manhattan, as well as litigation against Torac, which is the 506 Henry property, been able to reduce the secured debt. So the more the secured or mortgages go down, right, in terms of their interest and other charges they challenge and assert against the trust and your properties, we knock those down by challenges legally or otherwise, and here by about $8 million so far. And that results in greater equity or value from these properties for you. So another $8 million there. We've also been successful recently in subordination of senior or asserted unsecured debt. What I mean by that is, for example, individuals who asserted, or entities like Escaveria and DMR and USC, have asserted claims for JVA claims or joint venture agreement type claims at the level of an unsecured creditor. One of the motions we filed, and I'll talk about the motions next, was one to reclassify those motions as subordinate to you, so behind you in payment, as class 6 creditors under the plan. And we were successful so far by more than $23 million. $23 million is what, by agreement alone, we were able to our motion practice, get USC to reduce their claim by. But there's additional debt beyond that that's been reduced that isn't fully quantified by DMR and Escaveria that are now in class 6. Those are on the docket as well. So the resulting to date, recoveries are approximately $238 million of recoveries, which is on top of the real estate that Rick was giving us a good update on. So that's a summary quickly of those numbers of where we are and how we've done just so far. You also have the criminal restitution of Salzano. Again, not certain as to how that recovery will be in terms of actual assets. We don't believe he has assets that'll back that up. But we're not also going to waste time on legal fees chasing Salzano for a judgment that, even though we have lawsuits against him, that would in any way be collectible if we already have a restitution claim for you in the substantial amount of tens of millions of dollars, there's no value to pursuing that litigation. But there is this restitution award, and there's a process for you to participate. There's a website. The DOJ website gives you instruction as to how to submit your claim or be in on this from the Department of Justice and the government with respect to Salzano. We were able to reach out to the United States trustee and get a point person for you. And that point person is this person, Shirley. I don't dare pronounce her last name, but that is the Victim Witness Program Manager. Some of you may have already spoken to her, and her phone number is there to participate. And she may be of assistance to you through the restitution process. So hopefully that will help. Next, we have some important motions just to give you an idea of how we get to that final distribution. Remember in the agenda, we get to a section discussing distributions. There's two ways of getting the maximum distribution so far, and it's going to continue as we go along with the development that Rick spoke about on the real estate as well as the litigation, is we have to either reduce the claims that are entitled to payment, reduce the claims that come ahead of you that are not appropriate so that more money is available to pay you as investors, and obviously increase the amount of recovery. So there's two sides, right? Reduce the amount of claims so that per person, everyone gets more money, and that are fair and just creditors and investors in this case, and then obviously maximize the recovery. So we did that several ways. One is obviously we've had 5 omnibus claim objections, and we can give you the docket numbers if you need them, but there have been 5 so far, and there'll probably be a couple more in the claims reconciliation process to weed out the claims that are not and should not receive a distribution so that you get more of that money and no one else gets money that they should not receive. We also filed a second motion to extend the statutory deadlines to commence actions, which is now June 7th, 2025. So we extended the time period to commence actions. Why do we do that? It's not because we needed more time because we didn't get stuff done, but because there are individuals we're speaking to who may be able to settle with us without the need for litigation. And therefore, we could get money without the costs of a protracted lawsuit, paying lawyers versus just getting getting the maximum recovery. So we don't want to lose, though, if those settlement negotiations fall apart, the ability to sue them if we have to. So we preserve the right to go against them by extending that deadline to June 7th while we talk to them about getting more above that $238 million to get more money for you from those recoveries. So that's one of the things we did to preserve. We also, as I mentioned, brought a motion, a very substantial motion, that identified at least 3 claimants, DMR, which had several claims. We also had Escaveria and U.S. Construction in that pool of joint venture agreement that should be classified as Class 6. And I mentioned earlier, well in excess of $23 million in claims were reclassified subordinate to you. So you get more monies available to you versus them by doing that motion and that result. We also, of course, had motions to deal with duplicate claims, which are in that omnibus claims motion, to weed out claims. But there's more in the claims reconciliation process that Michael Ott and Andrea Gonzalez from A&M, Alvarez and Marcel will talk about. Next, we have other pending litigation. And for a list of that pending litigation, there is an Omni website. You'll see it there. The Omni website is many of you have been there already and trafficked that website, but that website has a list of all the adversary proceedings that are pending. And you'll be able to see there, not only that, but a list of the claims that Michael and Andre will talk about. So the investor schedules are now there on the website, but so are the dockets for all the litigation. This link in particular is a link for all of the dockets of the pending adversaries. And there are well over 19 pending lawsuits against accounting firms, law firms, of course, U.S. construction, advertisers, insider promoters, construction companies like DMR, Escaveria, and others, and of course, the bad actors and many of their insiders and family members. So let me give you a quick reason why some of this is not in greater granularity is because, as I mentioned, we're suing these people. We're in active litigation. We don't want to give them a heads up of what we're going to be doing, our strategies, or anything we're going to do, because that would be disadvantageous to you. But as to the accounting firms, for example, we're suing Whipley. That is a pending litigation. We're about, and I'll talk about that in a minute, we're going to mediation with them. There are a number of law firms that represented the bad actors and received some funds from NRIA to pay for the legal fees of those bad actors. We're trying to claw back those funds. You know about U.S. construction. Advertisers, we've already sued Media Effective. We are obviously looking at some others. Insider promoters, these are people like Harrington and others that actively participated in the sale of the securities. And we have asserted claims against them for any number of claims. That's a substantial cause of action and a substantial complaint. And as I mentioned, we have sued family members of Nick Salzano and Gravato and others who received transfers. And those active litigations are ongoing, and some are going to mediation as well. Not yet formally assigned to mediation, which is like a formal court-supervised settlement discussion, but that hasn't happened with all of them yet. There's anticipated litigation, which will happen if the pre-lawsuit settlement discussions we're having with certain parties, certain large banking institutions, certain other accounting firms and law firms that we're talking to, if those don't go well, then we anticipate additional litigation, which will include additional law firms, accounting firms, fraudulent transfer actions, et cetera. And this in particular, because we are right now drafting not less than 4 or 5 additional new complaints against entities that we anticipate bringing actions against, we don't want to go too deep into this because we'll be giving, in this public forum, a heads up about our strategy before we do it. And that is not for in your best interest. We're going to work on bringing those claims if settlement negotiations don't go well, so that we can maximize your return there. Now, we do have a number of mediations, as I mentioned. Some are pending, some are near settlement. So, for example, Weingold was settled. That was a law firm that did a bunch of all of the PPMs, private placement memoranda, through early 2021 for NRIA. And those PPMs were problematic. We brought the lawsuit. We don't think he complied with standards applicable to lawyers. We mediated and we obtained a positive resolution for the trust. The same, and you, of course. And the same is true with Mona Shaw. We're in middle of mediation. And these are one of the questions, by the way, was what is the status of Mona Shaw? That is inactive mediation. We've already had one round with another bankruptcy judge, in Judge Papalia in Newark. We're going to go into a second one soon. But Mona Shaw, as some of you may or may not know, is one of the lawyers who represented not only NRIA, but also some of the EB-5 entities and facilitated the solicitation of securities, according to the complaint, solicitation of securities from India for purposes of investment and obtaining green cards through the EB-5 program. But there's a claim against her for that. Whipley, as I mentioned, is in mediation. That's an accounting firm that did work for NRIA over the years. U.S. Construction and McFillan is actively in the Phil McFillan is an individual who did a lot of work with U.S. Construction and is a defendant in that action. A lot of activity in that mediation. We're hoping to go another, maybe third round, but that would hopefully resolve substantial claims by them against the estate, which, as I mentioned on that balance sheet analysis, the lower the claims of other creditors who try to be ahead of you, the more money you get, as well as if we get money from them, even more money on top of that. So we're trying to work with U.S. Construction in mediation to lower or reduce or waive their claims, and then hopefully get a financial recovery as well. And as you know, for some of you who know, U.S. Construction is owned and operated by Dustin Salzano, Nick Salzano's son, as well as John Farina, who are also defendants. We're also mediating with Fannie Mae on a litigation related to mortgages taken out by Ray Gravato individually. That should result in, we hope, a recovery on a fraudulent conveyance claim. And then, of course, we have the litigation against Escaveria, and that is now, just today, actually referred to mediation And we hope that is a construction-related claim we hope to bring to resolution for your benefit as well. In addition, we have other litigation that's out there. I think, by as an aside, Rick mentioned, I think, Metro. That is the West New York property that there should be a positive asset, but that is something we had to litigate and commence a litigation about the permits, because West New York was not granting those permits. We commenced an action against them, a very complicated action in the bankruptcy court, to essentially get a directive from the bankruptcy court that their permits would be granted, and they were wrong to deny them. And we were successful in the sense that they ultimately caved and agreed. So now that project can go forward. Permits are should hopefully be uninterrupted because of, in part, this litigation. Separately, the contract that that Rick also mentioned on the Gutenberg property, the Adams Street Capital property, that property is now in litigation in the bankruptcy court. They started it, meaning the other party did, even though they did not perform, in state court. We removed it to the bankruptcy court and are now in the bankruptcy court to litigate that. But on top of all of that, not in mediation, not in lawsuit, just other settlement negotiations we've had with parties, we've collected about 11, we're in the process of collecting about $11.5 million, hopefully. If those settlements go to final fruition and people sign, we're in negotiations that are fairly advanced to collect about $11.5 million of additional settlement funds, should we consummate those settlements, and they consummate those settlements. So there's active work to get this litigation bucket filled as much as possible. All of the pending mediations, all the negotiations that are not even on here because they are sensitive settlement negotiations with other parties and are confidential and or not something we want to or should or can discuss in a public forum, are going to hopefully generate additional recoveries for you and will take some time, but they're ongoing. But to date, as I mentioned, those are the recoveries. That's a quick summary. And I will now turn it over to the next agenda item, which is claims reconciliation. Mike?
Can you hear me right now?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, great. That was my first question, and you answered it. So we're going to talk about claims reconciliation and the first distribution, which we are planning and in process of making. Basically, as we speak, it should go out in the next several days to a week. So we'll talk about the whole process for that. First off, we have uploaded to the Omni website a schedule of everybody who is currently a contributing investor. Contributing investors are the only investors who will be receiving this first initial distribution on time. In order to make the distribution, we have to figure out how much cash we have available that we don't need for other things such as operations, reserves, or otherwise. And then from that, we can figure out how much of a distribution is a percentage of the total claims we can make, and how much we need to set aside for the claims of non-contributing investors. So if you go to the Omni website, which you should all be aware of because you're here, but if not, you can just Google Omni NRIA, and that should pull up the website pretty clearly. If you go there and you click on the claims drop-down list, the first item under that is contributing investors schedule. If you go into that website, there's a box right at the top, which will pull up a schedule which lists every claim of contributing investor along with the net investor claim amount for that claim. We updated it just before the call, so it's current as of this afternoon. We've had a couple come in after that, but you know they're not on that schedule. If your claim is included on that schedule, there is nothing more that you need to do at this time to receive the first distribution. If you are not listed on that schedule, then you are not currently a contributing investor and you will not receive the initial distribution on time. However, the trust is reserving cash to make your distribution once the claim is ultimately allowed, but you will not receive it when the first distribution is made, and you might not receive it for a little while. The contributing investor schedule lists your net investor claim amount. As many of you are aware, that is basically the You take all the cash that you gave into, you invested in the debtors, subtract out all the cash you got back from them, and you arrive at your net investor claim and schedule. It doesn't include any guaranteed return. It doesn't include any roll-up bonuses or other non-cash principal balances. It's just cash in minus cash out. That is what the contributing investor settlement calls for. So the amount of your claim is listed on the far right column in that schedule. That's basically how we calculate out the distributions that are made. So for this first distribution, we expect to make a 10% distribution. So if you look at that column and see the amount that is listed there, the amount you can expect to receive is 10% of that amount. Again, this is a first distribution of many likely distributions. So it's not the entire amount you're going to receive. It is also not the entire amount of your claim. It's just the first distribution. The net investor claim amount numbers for contributing investors are set. So we will not be negotiating with any contributing investors with respect to how their claim number is wrong or it's off or it should be higher. The only thing we will hear is if we have previously agreed to a reallocation of your claim and that number is not accurately reflected on the schedule, then we will listen to that. But we won't be discussing, you know, that your claim number is wrong at this point. That number is set. As I mentioned previously, we are planning on making the first distribution in the next few days to a week. This is going to be a first interim distribution, meaning there will be one or more future distributions. This first distribution will be 10% of the net investor claim amount that's listed on that schedule. We originally projected that the overall total distributions in the case would be around 25 to 35 cents in the dollar based purely on the real estate recoveries without accounting for any litigation recoveries. Based on the litigation recoveries to date, we are confident that that final distribution amount will be materially higher than the 25 to 35 cents of the dollar that we originally projected. How much higher, we can't say. It's speculative at this point still, but it should be higher. One thing to point out, claims trading is prohibited under the liquidation trust agreement, which means that if somebody calls you up asking to buy your claim, be very careful of what you are agreeing to with them because claims trading is currently disallowed. Also, be very cautious in listening to what numbers they're looking at. They are very much aware that we're going to be making a distribution soon, and so this is when they try and buy up as many claims as they can to make a quick profit. Andrea, did you have anything to add with respect to the planned distribution that I didn't cover?
No, not with respect to the planned distribution. I can move on to the distribution mechanics if everyone's... Okay, so with respect to the distribution mechanics, like Mike said, it will be a 10% based on your net allowed claim that's shown for those contributing investors on the Omni website. Those amounts will be distributed to investors that don't have IRA specific accounts directly by check. So we'll be using the addresses that we have on file, and then we have noted any address updates as well to the extent they have been provided to us. As it relates to those investors that have IRA accounts that are held by custodians, such as Madison Trust or otherwise, we are making a wire transfer specific to those custodians who will then deposit the distribution within 4 days or so of receipt into your specific investment accounts. So those are, at a high level, the distribution mechanics. You know, obviously, if there's an issue and you're on the contributing investor list, please let us know. But overall, that's how the mechanics will be taking place.
Yeah. And so far, we have an agreement in place with Madison Trust to accept a wire transfer. We're still in the process of reaching out to the other trust custodians. There are 2,026 contributing investor accounts that are going to receive distributions, and Madison Trust holds about 228 of them. So it's very efficient means for getting that cash out. I know we had a number of questions from investors about that were specific to IRA accounts. I just want to go through and answer those quickly because I assume that many of you probably have the same questions. So if the IRA portion of the investment is retired from the custodian, can I change my address and have distributions sent directly to me? So I know from our discussions with Madison Trust that Madison Trust will allow you to distribute out the investment to yourself from your IRA, or, you know, if you have another IRA account with another custodian and you contribute it to yourself. We need to know about that so we know how that you need to change the allocation or allocate it to yourself rather than your IRA account. So there needs to be communication to us about that so that we can make that change in our records, both in our tax records and just for distribution purposes. But basically the distributions that we have on the schedule that are on Omni are the distributions that will be made. So if it lists, if you have two accounts, say you have $100,000 in your own name and $100,000 in Madison Trust, then you will personally receive a check for $10,000, 10% of your personal investment, and Madison Trust will deposit into your account your portion of the wire transfer they receive in the amount of $10,000, which should come in probably much sooner than the check. And it'll go there, even if you have made a change or withdrawn a portion of your investment. That's where it's going, because that is the information we have as of today. When we receive distributions, will they be divided into cash account and retirement IRA accounts? Yes. Again, on the contributing investor schedule, that lists out how your claims are allocated among your various investment accounts and your personal account. And that is how they will be made, and that is where they're going to go. You know, if your custodian has been brought out, they're no longer accepting payments made to the old custodian, please reach out to us. I can't promise that we will be able to make that change within time for this first distribution. But obviously, we want to avoid having bounced check or having unclaimed checks. So we need to know that information as soon as possible. You're closing your account in Madison Trust. Will the proceeds of that account be mailed to you? Again, if we're going on the information we have today. If the information we have today shows that you have an account at Madison Trust, your cash will go to Madison Trust. And given that that will come by wire transfer, I would suggest you wait to close your account until after that cash is deposited. Tommy, I know we had some tax related questions with respect to the distributions. Do you want to go ahead and answer those now?
Yeah, sure. So, we saw a couple of questions as to how the distributions are going to be reported and which line they're going to show up on the K-1, things of that nature. So I just want to reiterate that, now that our corporate entity structure is that of a trust, you will no longer be receiving K-1s. All of your future tax documents will be, relayed on the grantor letters, which you should have received for the post-confirmation period of 2023. And we'll provide, a later update once those grantor letters are available. On a town hall or otherwise, as to where you should be looking for those distributions. Just to kind of mark your calendars, those 2024 grantor letters are not going to be due until September 30th, 2025. So we have quite some time before that comes into play, but we will circle up and provide another update at that point. Also, as it relates to the taxes, I know on the last call or the last couple calls, we've discussed the 2021 and 2022 amendments, or as we formally call them, the AARs. Those are, wrapping up at the finishing stages now. Eisner, who's our tax firm, has sent me a list of questions over the past couple of days trying to wrap things up. And I've just personally been, focused on making sure that the distribution list is accurate and ready to go for you guys, so everyone has their checks processed. But, right after that, I'm going to circle up with Eisner. The plan is to get those done and out the door, circulated to you guys, before year end. And at that point, you will have, the ability to review your 2021, 2022, 2023 tax documents and have the ending and beginning balances match and kind of flow year to year. And again, those AARs will be reported on your 2024 tax return. So it's not going to trigger an obligation to go back and change prior year tax returns that you've already filed. And that'll kind of bring us current on all the tax situations. And I guess one more thing that Mike mentioned earlier, we are aware, because several investors brought to our attention, that Madison Trust was acquired by Equity Trust. So to the extent that you, Midland Trust was acquired by Equity Trust. So to the extent that you had an account with Midland, that has, that's already been updated in our records to make sure that the check is payable to Equity Trust. But if you're outside of those two entities and you're aware of a change, let us know as soon as possible and we'll see what we can do. But Midland to Equity has already been taken care of. That's all I got.
We also received a question from an investor with respect to why we have to use the extended deadline through September 15th to file the tax returns. Could you just speak to that quickly?
Yes. Sorry. And I missed that. So guys, it's kind of important to remember that, we have a lot of active real estate here. There's a lot of moving pieces to get the accounting done. Obviously, we have 2,000 investors. It's a very complicated and extensive preparation time period for the tax returns. So, not only does it take us time to close the books for the year,
we also have to kind of rely on the tax firm's availability to complete these returns. So, you know, generally speaking, you know, any partnership of this size where you're dealing with 2,000 investors is always going to be relying on filing an extension and utilizing the time that they need to make sure that the information is prepared accurately. We'll always certainly try to get everything done as soon as possible, but I would not recommend expecting the tax documents before, you know, the due date in September 30th, 2025. Thanks, Mike.
And remember, the data comes in at the end of the year. You need the numbers as of the end of the year. So it's not like you can get an earlier start just to meet that, you know, April deadline or whatever. So it is quite a complicated process. The last question we had was with respect to unsecured claims. We are in the process of reviewing and reconciling the unsecured claims. Under the plan, unsecured claims are entitled to payment in full as soon as they are allowed. However, none of the unsecured claims, or very few of the unsecured claims, have been allowed to date. An unsecured claim isn't allowed until either a claim objection with respect to it has been resolved, or there's been a stipulation entered allowing the claim, or the claim objection deadline is passed without an objection being filed. And that has not happened yet. The trust in making this distribution to investors has set aside more than enough cash in reserve in order to pay all the disputed unsecured class 3 claims in full once those claims are allowed. So once we get this distribution out, we're going to be turning in force to basically reviewing, reconciling, and resolving the unsecured claims so we can get that taken care of. And I believe that is all I had, unless there were, anything else, Lewis?
No, that's good. Thank you, Michael. I just want to clarify on the distributions. As you all heard, we have a number of moving parts, a substantial number of moving parts, at least 3. One being the outstanding litigation and recoveries from those litigations. How those turn out eventually will be determined by a court and or resolution, and we don't know how they'll turn out with certainty. But certainly everyone is optimistic that we will hopefully get a good recovery. Second is that we have the real estate, which is impacted by the market, capacity of buyers and or counterparties to perform, and weather. For example, some of you may recall that the marina was hurt by an adverse weather storm, a hurricane. So assets can be damaged. And lastly is the claims reconciliation and how we're able to reduce and or address unsecured claims or other claims that may be under the plan or otherwise senior in payment to investor claims. So on the distribution issue, we are optimistic that we will exceed the 35% forecast under the plan and disclosure statement, but it's not a guarantee. It is our view of where we stand right now that we are optimistic, but it's not a guarantee. So please understand that we're doing everything we can. Everything looks rosy and good in terms of how things are progressing along those lines, but can't guarantee that, but we're hopeful. All right, so with that clarification, the next town halls, somebody also asked about that, but we have been posted, we posted them on Omni. They're looking like February 12th, 2025, April 9th, 2025, and June 11th, 2025 for the next town halls. Again, that's February 12th, 2025, April 9th, 2025, and June 11th, 2025. And as I indicated at the top of this conversation, we anticipate each month posting on Omni an update on where we are on real estate and litigation that will be on the Omni website for you to review as a further update. With that, turn to the trustee for closing statement, Trustee Representative Matthew Ward.
Thanks, Liz. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
So as you guys have heard, we've been very active over the last couple of months since the last town hall. Our litigation efforts have come to fruition now in the form of multiple settlements and judgments, which, as you saw at the start of this slide presentation, have resulted in more than $200 million coming into the estate. And we're going to also continue to have great opportunities with the real estate portfolio. Like I've always said, we're doing everything in our power to maximize monies in and then monies out the door to all of the people on this call as investors. We did update the list of contributing investors to the Omni website. So please take a look at that and make sure that you are listed on there so that you get a distribution, which we intend to make that distribution over the next week or so by the end of the year, so that you get your 10% distribution for this year. As far as next steps, Lewis touched on many of these things. Like I said, we have the mechanics in place for distribution. We're going to be using Omni as our disbursement agent. Omni is the same company that maintains our website. You know, and it's not just so people understand, I mean, this is just one little, you know, instance of efforts that we're making on your behalf to try to maximize recoveries and minimize expenses. So rather than just call up Omni and hire them as disbursement agent, we go out and we solicit bids. We solicit three bids, we compare prices, and we try to negotiate the best pricing for you guys as investors. You know, I'm not looking for praises for that. That's what we do as a liquidation trust. You know, we're fiduciaries, but I just want you guys to know that we're not taking the easy path of just calling up Omni and doing it. We did get three bids, and Omni was materially cheaper than the other two bids, and we negotiated good terms with them as our disbursement agent. So everything that we do is all about the investors and getting them the most that we can. Some of the things that we'll be working on going forward, as Lewis said, we're going to start posting the monthly reports so that investors can see that. We think you guys might find that helpful. We'll continue developing and monetizing the real estate portfolio, working on claims reconciliation, negotiating with multiple non-contributing investors to try to get them to become contributing investors. You'll see as that list on Omni continues to grow as we make progress with respect to that. We'll continue prosecuting the 24 litigation matters that we have pending in various stages, whether it's mediation or discovery or trial, settlement negotiations, whatever it is, we're going to move those actions forward. These are against, you know, dozens, maybe hundreds of defendants, and continuing to negotiate settlements with the ones that we haven't sued yet. And if we can't get to a deal with them, we'll sue them. So we're doing that with all of the targets that we've identified. And just so people know, none of these are easy. I mean, Lewis and I know this because we live it, we breathe it. Every day we're traveling around to hearings and mediations and court hearings and settlement conferences, discovery requests on all of these. You know, Lewis mentioned the CMB Adams one. And, you know, again, I know I'm not supposed to talk about individual ones, but like CMB Adams is just a great example. Okay. And this isn't even a litigation where we sued them for monies that they owe to us. This was a litigation on a real estate. Even our real estate transactions give rise to litigation. Same with West New York. So CMB Adams, they sued us. We won. We prevailed. Then they sued us again. So we just, earlier this week, we filed a motion to dismiss. It's 70 pages long with multiple exhibits, and we're going to continue to do that. We're not backing down. With respect to the targets that we can settle and that we can mediate a settlement that's reasonable and good for the investors, that's great. We'll do it. And if not, we'll continue to sue, and we'll take it through trial if we need to. And we're not doing that for us. We're doing that for you guys as the investors. Other things that we'll continue to work on is reducing the holdbacks under the plan, under the Chapter 11 plan that was approved by the court. Lewis mentioned reserves that are now in place where many of these funds are being held in reserves for various items, litigation reserves and claims reserves and other things. But the beauty of this is now that those reserves are fully funded, if there's future funds that come in through litigation and through real estate sales, those can go out the door because the reserves are now all in place. And we have enough to make a distribution this year. And as we do litigation and real estate recoveries going forward, we'll continue to kick that out the door as well. So lots of moving parts, but we're getting a lot done, and we're going to continue to work full speed ahead, continue to get you guys the return of your money. So thank you for your time tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Hopefully this was helpful in terms of information. And we look forward to talking to you again in the next town hall. But keep your eyes on Omni as well for further updates. And all be well and happy holidays, everyone. And have a good new year as well. Take care.